The following production of the Banged Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Hello?
Hello, Kenny? Kenny Britt?
Yes? Who is this?
Hi, Kenny. Listen, I'm the Browns' new general manager, John Dorsey.
Oh, so you're my new boss?
Well, not exactly. You see, we've been looking at film, and we've decided that the reason that the team stinks so bad is pretty much you.
Hi, Kenny. This is Coach Hugh.
What the hell's going on?
Listen, I know this is hard just before Christmas and everything, and I'm just as sorry as the dickens about it, but I just haven't heard the growth out of you that I was expecting to hear. And,
what?
Well, we think it'd be better for this 0-12 football team that you just weren't here anymore.
No, this is crazy. Is this some kind of joke?
I'm so sorry, Kenny. I just feel terrible about this.
Yeah, it's all your fault.
Man,
well, nevertheless, you're fired.
What?
Clean out your locker by 10 o'clock and give your playbook to Bob on the way out the door.
How are you going to say it's all my fault?
Okay.
I can't be the one to
All right. Well, you take care of yourself. Okay, bye now. There. You see how it's done?
Yes, I see.
All right, good. I'll go do it 46 more times.
Hum, hum.
Bang Radio.
I am very happy to be here.
Oh, put stop it.
Once you go dead, you don't go back.
Dag.
He's Jesus, bro!
Bang.
You know, we know what we're capable of. You know, have we shown it to the world yet? I don't think we have.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
Hold on. With scramble?
That is football.
I've had it with sucking.
Maybe there's a chance.
And now, here's John and Tom.
What a great win for this Minnesota Vikings team on the road.
No doubt, spectacular. The Minnesota Vikings, the Kings of the North, have improved to 10-2.
Jets rush 4. Alex Smith looks over the middle, fires one, and complete. And the Jets are going to hold on. They're finally going to close one out in the fourth quarter and win it over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Bounces it up to the outside, makes the turn, 20, 15, 10, fires to the house for the touchdown. Packers have won. Jones on the touchdown. Jones hadn't been in the game in the second half. They stick him in for that play, and he scores, and the Packers win with 5:59 to go in overtime.
The ball is on its way. That kick is long enough, high enough, and that kick is good, and the Pittsburgh Steelers climb from the grave and win a football game that at one point looked like the impossible.
Well, it's never impossible when you're playing the Bengals. I mean, who would think that a team could hold a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter at home?
I don't want to hear it. I watched the Redskins blow a lead, but it was to the Saints, and it was on the road. So, yeah, I agree. But really, the Steelers, this is the second game in a row they won on the last play of the game on a field goal?
6 seconds, folks. Six seconds we were into the show. And John brought up the Redskins. He's always got to make it about him. I tried. I said at the beginning of the season, I was going to try to avoid all the Cowboys and NFC East talk. 6 seconds. And that's all it
is. That's all right. There's a lot of great things I can do in 6 seconds. All you ladies out there, you know what I'm talking about. As Muddy Water would say, ain't that a man?
Oh, man. That's good.
But no, seriously, they keep winning at the end. They keep winning at the end.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Second week in a row on the last play.
Yep.
And if I'm not mistaken, over like the last month, they've done this like not necessarily on the last play, but in the last minute a lot.
Well, they've done it a lot in the last 10 years.
Right.
Really?
So, you know, isn't that your Super Bowl pick? Wasn't that who you picked?
The Steelers? No,
you
I
picked them for the AFC?
No, I had the Seahawks over the Patriots.
Oh, that's right. I thought you, for some reason, picked the Steelers. I'll tell you what, if we had to pick it all again right now, I'd pick the Steelers.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I for sure.
Game with the Patriots. For sure, dude. That game with the Patriots is going to be tubular.
Bang Radio Hour number 314. I'm Tom. He's John. Coming up. Can I hit you now?
Please. Please, could you? This is the recreational spanking.
Rex don't like me. Wah.
Wah.
We're on a bus with a potato in Arizona, a 53-year-old major leaguer and more. But let's go back to this Steelers-Bengals game. That got nasty. And, man, dude. Former Buckeye, First round pick by the Steelers, Ryan Shazier, probably never going to play football again.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he walks again, that'll be good. Because it's not, I mean, I can't really say right now one way or the other, but from everything I'm reading, he's not going to do that right anymore. You know, he might walk again, but it ain't going to be right.
That sucks, man.
It does. It does. It really sucks. Because, you know, you saw the hit, right?
Yeah.
He put his head down a little bit.
Yeah.
But it just lined up perfectly, and it jammed everything all the way down into the lower back. So it's just part of the game.
It is, man. That's why they get paid millions.
Right. And this is fans, as we always say, this is what you gotta reconcile in yourself. This is what's gonna happen.
That particular, you know, injury, I believe, was just an accident.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's just a freak thing. It's just part of the game. Nobody did anything to cause that to happen. He didn't even really, I don't think he really even used bad form on the tackle. He might have lowered his head a little bit. It just all lined up.
It was a freak one, freak things, man. It's just like Dennis Byrd back in the day, you know? Just,
right.
It's one of them. And, you know, it's not like this happens all the time. It just, man, it sucks. But now, there were things in that game that were not accidents that were ridiculous.
Well, it depends on your definitions of ridiculous.
Well, that game and the New England game, too. That's another one. We'll get into that in a second. But listen to Gruden. He, you know, they were doing the game on Monday night, the Steelers and Bengals. And listen to Gruden.
I hate seeing this type of football.
Yeah, it's an ugly night. I think the players need to think, John, about what they're doing to each other, what they're doing to themselves, what they're doing to the image of the league, fan interest.
Spending too much time, Sean, trying to make it right. It's not right.
This is a physical football game. Prayers and thoughts are with everybody that got hurt. There were a lot of injuries tonight. So prayers and thoughts really go out to everybody that got hurt, their families, because I know there's a lot of worried people out there.
Man, dude, that almost sounds like a witness speaking after a terrorist attack. Roethlisberger at the end. It's like, oh my God, this was supposed to be a football game.
Right. Somebody's, you know, from the Pentagon should come up to a podium and start give us a little couple of casualty counts.
Jeez.
You know? But I tell you what, it's a rough game, and I don't want to pee all over Gruden and say, oh, it's wrong, and you know, you should shut up and everything like that. But really, this is the Bengals and the Steelers. And you said earlier in the show, how can you not come back and beat the Bengals? It doesn't matter with these two teams, and that's always the cliche, but goddamn, remember Joey Porter and frickin' Chris Henry getting in fights at midfield in the pregame stretch?
Oh, yeah. These two, man, it always gets... I always look forward to this game.
Hell yeah.
It's always nasty.
Timo Van Olhoffen on Carson Palmer's knee, remember?
Yeah, playoffs, yep.
Right? And that's why we have the rules now that you can't hit anybody from down low?
No, it's not. It is not why. They didn't make a rule for Carson Palmer. It had to happen to Tom Brady before they would make the rule.
That's right, because Carson Palmer, and what the problem was, is he went and got one of those cadaver ligaments put in his knee, and it was a woman, and they just are prejudiced, and they decided that they're going to make a rule for Tom Brady and not for the guy with the lady knee.
Yeah, they didn't make a rule after it happened to Carson Palmer. It was when the Chiefs...
When Brady got hit.
Yeah, when Brady went down for the year by the Chiefs in the opener.
Right. I can't remember who it was that hit that. I'm sure somebody right now is very proud about it. And there you go, Chiefs. There's your moment to be happy for this whole fucking month.
Right.
Somebody remembered when we hurt Brady. Thank God.
And then, the whole thing with Gronk, I couldn't even believe that.
Well, hang on a minute. Before you get to Gronk, let me just say this. Juju, the most offensive name in the NFL, Juju Smith-Schuster, dude, should he have been suspended for that?
Absolutely. He should have been ejected.
Way.
He should have been ejected for that, John.
Look, man, that hit happens 20 times a week across the league by safeties, and they get fined. He should be fined just like a safety gets fined, but they don't get thrown out of the game. He shouldn't have stood over him. He should have just acted like a safety does when that happens and, you know, just get up and walk away.
That's why. I mean, it was the taunting afterwards, but he went helmet to helmet. I mean, actually,
yes,
he went helmet to chin on a...
crown to jaw.
Yeah, dude, come on. He did it on purpose and then stood over top of him. I couldn't believe he wasn't ejected.
Well, I got to say, I think that is, aside from standing over top of him, which, yeah, probably should have got him thrown out of the game, the hit itself... It's a dirty hit. It should have gone. It should draw a flag. It's a defenseless whatever. Perfect. It's a defenseless a tackler attempter. Whatever the fuck you want to call him. He's not a receiver, but he's defenseless. And he got crown of the helmet into the jaw. Pay that whatever they charge. What do they charge for that? Ask any defensive back. They know. Safeties all know how much that cost them.
Probably right? $50,000, probably.
So charge them what they charge a safety, but safeties don't get suspended.
I think anybody does, man.
I don't know. Safeties don't get suspended. As a matter of fact, that guy for the Bengals, what's his name? He got his suspension lifted.
Well, you say it. I know. You say it happens, 20 times, but guess what? 400 people are going to speed past my house and not get a ticket, but the 401st one's going to happen to come around and do it at the wrong time. I can't help it if they don't see it, but that doesn't make it okay.
You know what happened? They gave Goodell a suspension. He was all happy, and he was like, all right, suspend somebody.
Oh, God, Goodell. Goodell.
Yes, we will get to Goodell, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gronk got suspended.
Yeah. Yep.
Gronk suspended. Gronk must stay home. That was a dirty hit, man. He tried to take that dude's head off.
Oh, it wasn't even a hit. He dove on him.
I know, with his elbow. That was a wrestling move. Gronk do elbow smash.
Yeah, and and you could tell afterwards Gronk was because he doesn't do that. I mean, come on, let's be honest. That's way out of character for him.
Well, yeah, it is out of character for him. But all these people that are crying about, well, you know how many times he gets punched and held and grabbed and all kinds of stuff when you run dead. Shut the fuck up. Who fucking cares? He draws flags like flies. All right. So how about on that play before he did that, right before the interception, he hit that guy in the back of the head with one hand and then he hit him in the top of the head with the other hand and grabbed him by the fucking top of his face mask. Remember? And then he fell down.
Yeah.
And then the guy picked off the ball and then Gronk stomped him.
Yep.
Gronk stomp. Gronk not happy. Gronk's supposed to catch pass. Gronk be big hero. Do spike. Oh, shit. Gronk going to make Tom go over and yell at offensive coordinator again. Ah, damn. He was giving McDaniel a goddamn earful, wasn't he?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? If that was Tony Romo,
anybody else
in Dallas yelling at the offensive coordinator, like, can you imagine? Oh my God, the world would be outraged and upset and flipping out, or even better, John, T.O. What if it was T.O.?
Oh, dude, especially if in today's modern political climate, they'd be burning him in effigy. I guess.
Wow, how about that?
But I'll tell you what, it's Brady, though. It's like I said to you a couple of weeks ago about what you were saying something about Brady. If Brady throws an interception, they don't hound him about it like they hound other quarterbacks. Well, if Brady wants to yell at his offensive coordinator, you look at the two of them and you go, chances are Brady's right. Chances are
exactly.
Brady's right.
Yeah, exactly. It is. That's true. It's kind of like, how we always made jokes with Peyton Manning, you know. The offensive coordinator was the gravy job with Indianapolis. You didn't have to do shit.
right. You sit there and order pizza and play a video game.
Right.
I'll tell you what. I was watching that game, and the play that happened on was a third down or something, and Brady tried to throw it a little behind the guy that he was trying to hit, and it was too low, and there was a linebacker nearby, all this kind of shit. It was an incomplete pass. They had to punt, right? And I guarantee you McDaniel said something to him as he was coming over that was just as stupid as shit. Like, you should have turned it a little higher. Something like that. And Brady turned around and said, what the fuck, little man?
Why don't you shut your mouth right now and sit down on that bench?
That's right. Shut the fuck up. I'm going to go over here, sit down, hold my hand up, and nobody's going to give me a goddamn high five.
Well, hell, though, with Manning, though, even the head coach didn't really have much of a job. It's like, head coach, hey, it's 4th and 2. Well, ask Peyton what we're going to do. What are we doing? I don't know.
Yeah. do you see me over here reading this book? I'm sorry, but go ask him.
He's got Reader's Digest in his hand.
You know what Brady was doing? Brady was over there going, how the fuck am I supposed to throw the ball when they're throwing dildos on the goddamn field again? Kudos to the Bills fans for the second year in a row throwing a dildo on the field. This one was big and black. Did you see it?
They are the best, man. That is great. All right, so all this going on, everybody's getting fined and suspended, and of course we've been complaining about how there's too many rules.
Yep.
And, man, finally, And he's, dude, he does it. Mike Mitchell says all of this so well. He is right yes. on the money. It's exactly what we've been complaining about.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was just so nice to hear a player, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Just
dude,
finally.
I made cartoons about this. The second cartoon I ever made was about the Frankenstein's monster that was the rule book, remember?
Right.
The second one back in 2003.
Well, listen to Mike Mitchell.
End of the day, this is football.
Yeah.
If you want to see flag football, then let's take our pads off. That would make it easier for me because now I don't got to wear heavy shit. But give us flags for me to pull off because that way I know what we're playing. You know, I signed up to play full speed contact football and we're not doing right. that. I feel like I got to ask a guy, hey, are you ready for me to hit you right now before I hit you?
Damn.
And that's crazy. I'm going to mess around and get hurt trying to protect an offensive player because he's running an over route. Damn it, your quarterback shouldn't have threw that ball messed up.
Tell it.
That happened 2 years ago. That's I'm not joking at all. Andy Dalton threw a ball to Tyler Eifert 2 years ago. Tyler Eifert had to dive for it. I was aiming for his gut. But if he don't dive, he don't get in the head. That's 50 grand out of my pocket, though,
50.
Because Andy throws a bad ball. Make that make sense. And at first you're taking our money, but now, you know, I got assholes like Matt Hasselbeck calling me a dirty player and trying my character, and we've never met before.
Okay, that is one of my favorite things in the whole rant. Yeah. I got assholes like Matt Hasselbeck.
That's right. Hey, you know what? The last thing any of these idiots need to hear from is some loudmouth on some goddamn television show, radio show, or podcast pretending it's no shit that he doesn't know anything about. You know, that's what I'm talking about there, Tom.
Oh, holier than thou, boy. It's like Rodney Harrison complaining that somebody's a dirty player. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, but he's 100% right. He's 100% right. Make this make sense. Andy Dalton throws a ball that gets his receiver killed, and I'm aiming for a clean shot, and he runs into me.
I know.
And I get fine. Make that make sense.
And it was 50 grand.
Right. You know what? All you people out there that want to wonder why everybody stays home from stadiums these days, aside from the fact that half the league is playing under 500 and there's a whole shitload of nothing but goddamn backup quarterbacks out there because all these rules are protecting everybody, you know, Tom. It's for reasons like this. What the fuck does this make sense? How does this make sense?
It doesn't. Here's more.
I donate more money to Cincinnati. Underprivileged kids and probably people on the Bengals. So don't give me that name. My nephew goes to school there, man. I take all that personally. If you don't know me, if you never had a conversation with me, don't judge us by what you see on football, because football is my competitive side. You know what I'm saying? So it's just so much going on in the game right now. Yes, obviously I'm a little flustered, but I mean, we just got to do better. We got to do better. I said it yesterday. We got to do better as players when we sign the next CBA. We got to get better leadership as who's running the league, because obviously everybody from fans, owners, players are all disappointed in Roger Goodell. We just got to do better. We can't have a guy where you just hand out discipline on how you see fit. There needs to be a set guideline of how we do what we do.
I preach it, yep. Man.
And right after that, they went, oh, yeah, well, let's give him $200 million in 5 years.
Oh, God. I couldn't believe it.
There's a sheriff is sticking around, Tom. He's got this town under control.
You know, hey, man, you want your families to games. We'll see. When you lose your core fans, and TV ratings are down a little, man. I mean, when I'm seeing a primetime football game get less than 10 million viewers, that's yep. unusual.
Yep. Well, and of course, they're going to answer this week with the Broncos and the Colts. Woohoo! That's...
No NFL primetime football game should be getting less than 10 million viewers. I'm sorry. So, I don't understand. I don't understand how to give Roger this new contract. The ratings are down. You know, you got the whole kneeling thing going on. That's part of the problem. That's another part of the problem. But
yep.
fans like you and I, man, I think there are some people getting a little tired of it, man. And you know what? You want your you want families there. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You lose the core fans, families are not going to fill up your seats and get you the TV ratings that are getting you your current contracts from the networks.
Right. And you know, there's a lot of factors that go into this. And I think what he said right in the middle of that thing about they got to get a new CBA, where they got to get somebody in there that's competent, that knows what they're doing, is because the players are always behind the eight ball because they negotiate the CBA knowing they only have like a 5 year career. Most of them. So they negotiate for dumb shit. Like, I don't want to practice. I don't want to fucking practice. I don't want to hit and practice, Tom. And then the season comes and everybody gets hurt. Again and again and again and again and again. Every week I look at the fucking schedule of who's gonna play, and you know there's at least four games where both quarterbacks are fucking coming off the bench for injured starters that aren't there anymore. Every fucking team that plays on Thursday night football gets beat up and then goes, you know what, this is too much, we can't do this. Thursday night football. We said this way back when, remember?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, we're just crying and whining now. God damn it.
No, man.
I did not expect the end of last night's game to the way I did not expect that. I think I texted you that I was going to make that one of my bets this week. So I'm 0-1 already.
Yeah, John's already lost one of next week's bets.
No shit.
What happened to you?
I was all on the Saints, boy.
Damn.
Vegas knows something. They just always know something. When there's a line that looks so sweet, you know, the Saints getting 2.5? Hell yeah.
Division game and Atlanta. That's all I can think of.
Interception. That Drew Brees, he throws tons of them. You know, he's known for that, right?
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, it's the NFL, boy. You don't want to watch it? That's fine. You want to drive ticket prices down? That's fine. You want to boycott? That's fine. You boycotting motherfuckers always don't ever goddamn see well to understand that once you bastards leave, the party gets better. Get the fuck out of here, you whining bitch.
But, John, hold on. Yes. Hold on. Quickly. Let's go to Hugh Jackson for some words of wisdom.
You never win till you win.
Oh, thank you, Hugh. All right.
Oh, well, thank you, Tom. That helps quite a bit. We should, you know, I tell you what, if King Kong was on top of the goddamn Empire State Building, I bet you Hugh Jackson could talk him down without any planes being needed at all.
Come on, you big monkey. Come on down. We'll just talk it out.
Oh, my gosh.
They're going to keep him.
Yeah, I know. They got rid of everybody above him, GM and everybody. But they're going to keep Hugh.
Keep you?
Hugh. Hugh.
Hugh. Hugh. All right, now look, I'm going to say this. This is a trip, man. One of the people that owns part of my company, a guy that I know quite well over here on the other side of the bridge, his brother is the guy that they just hired to be their GM. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, how did they get around the Rooney Rule?
Oh,
probably turn around and say, wait, we just fired one. Come on, we can hire whoever we want now, right? We gave him a chance.
All right, so McAdoo gets fired.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Who's the interim coach?
Steve Spagnuolo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, at least he's got a little experience in losing a lot of football games, so that's good.
Eli Manning's going back to starter against the Cowboys this week.
You think right now McAdoo's walking down the street going, Charlie Brown in it down the street kicking a goddamn can.
Yeah.
Yeah, god dang it, yeah.
Eli, so Eli's going to play again, and they asked Eli about playing next year.
I'm going to finish out this season and see what happens.
Are you positive you're going to play next season, or you think is that something you have to think about?
Yeah, I plan on playing next season.
He plans on playing next season.
He plans on it. That's plans what it says it. In his plan. I got a plan, you know, out here, we'll play next year.
Look, right here on page 13.
Right. His goal is to lose 114 games for the same team.
What a stat to have, right?
I absolutely love that.
Does everybody know? Does everybody know about the stat, do you think?
Oh, yeah. I think as I posted it all over our Facebook page, that yes, Eli Manning is the first quarterback in the history of the NFL to lose 100 games for the same team.
Something Geno Smith will never get a chance to do.
Or how about the Giants hired Jeff Fisher? Oh, my God. Oh, God, Tam. I think I just felt a chubby.
Wait.
Jesus. I'm officially aroused. I can't stop thinking about that now. Jeff Fisher's the Giants coach.
Oh, that would be great.
Damn. I could die a happy man.
But, yeah, Geno Smith should be glad. He will never hold that record.
Geno Smith is upset that he is no longer the starter of the New York Giants.
And he's also upset that Rex Ryan doesn't like him.
Oh, poor guy.
Yeah, so Rex Ryan, you know, I mean, he was Geno's coach, you know.
Right, he drafted him.
Right, and so here comes Geno's going to play in place of Eli, and they, you know, Rex Ryan, they were doing their analysis. They was analysizing.
He was analysizing.
And he said,
I think he's got little feet. They don't look good at all. He should cut his toenails once in a while. I say, have some grooming habits there, boy. What's the matter with you? Your feet are on TV.
So, and Rex Ryan goes, I wouldn't want him as my quarterback.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Now, see, he deserves what happens next.
Well, stupid I deserves ass. It. I don't know. What is Geno Smith can't do? All Geno Smith can do is get mad. But, I mean, Rex Ryan knows he's on national television. He knows Geno Smith's probably going to hear him say that. He didn't care. He just said, I wouldn't want, you know, when Geno's coming into play for Eli, he was commenting on it. He said, I wouldn't want him to be my quarterback.
Well, he was, and you were the one that brought him into the league, and this is the moment where Foghorn Leghorn gets his.
Well, no, I mean, he drafted him, he brought him into the league, yeah. He was his quarterback, and Rex Ryan found out he didn't like him.
Yeah.
And then Geno
Smith.
Geno's
peeved.
Yeah, so Geno heard about it.
You know, I was just sitting in my room watching, because you got the time difference, so I'm just watching a little bit of, football and, see that happen, and it's like, wow, it's a guy first of all, you drafted me, second of all, you started me, third of all, I went out there and I gave you everything I had, and then you go out and say that, it's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate, John.
It's unfortunate. That's secret speak for, God damn, that fucking fat pig.
Exactly.
Fuck that fat pig.
Catch me outside, how about that?
Right.
He used to try to get Jen Sturger to come up into his office and feed him Funyuns with her feet.
Jen Sturger. Oh, God.
She was a game day hostess.
I know. I heard that interview when we called Favre and asked him about, he was bass fishing. He caught a big old largemouth bass while we were talking to him on the phone. He goes, well, that looks just like Jen Sturger.
If only fish had titties.
Oh my God.
Oh hell.
All right. So you mentioned Kansas City, and it's like the whole bad month they've had. It's been really almost 2 months now. What do we got?
Oh.
They've lost what? 6 out of 7?
6 out of 7. Remember, let's do the analysis. Right. They've lost 6 out of 7. By analysis.
By analysis.
There he is.
He's got analysis.
Holy Snickers!
He's back. We're going to see how many he can go with, how many times they lose. And then I want to hear what he has to say when they win.
Oh, God, I know. Well,
I'm telling you, it's shaping up. It's shaping up.
Here he is with his expert recap. We heard that before.
Well, let's just toss me a New York Jets cheerleading uniform outfit for me to cheer for them. Yay! J-E-T-S! Woo!
No, he didn't even do
it. Yeah, J-E-T-S doesn't spell wow. What a goddamn idiot. This is a product of the Indiana school system. Sorry, I started. Oh, sugar. I didn't realize that one was coming up, and it made me laugh too hard, and I didn't get it out right. So there you
go.
Damn O-O-N. That spells Jets.
We lost again. Dot, dot, dot.
Dot, dot, dot.
They lost again.
Again. Dot, dot, dot. We lost at the New York Jets Stadium, also known as MetLife Stadium.
God, he spends so much time on this stuff. I mean, where's the analysis?
He gets his info off the back of a football card.
Let's just squirt ketchup up my nose. Right. Up my nostrils and call it a nosebleed.
Oh my God.
Let's just squirt chocolate syrup up my butt and force me to go to the toilet.
Okay, this guy's too kinky, John. He's just too kinky.
You know, I think his other name is the Gimp. Why don't we just open the box and let me out for a stretch?
Just do it. Marcus Peters, you threw the flag into the seats of the fans.
That was one of the funniest things I've seen all year, man.
That was fucking great. Remember, I texted you right when it happened. Oh, my God, look at this. He threw the flag into the crowd. Did you see that kid with the flag?
It was the best. I would love to catch that flag. I'd go buy that guy's jersey tomorrow if I'd have been that kid.
Oh, dude, that guy was having a ball with the flag, and then they showed him again, and all his friends and all these people were gathered around. They were all taking pictures of him with the flag, and the umpire was trying to get it back. You'd think they'd have a spare. But no, nobody ever thinks the flag is going to end up in the fucking stands. They looked around. The NFL went, this has never happened before. We don't know that kind of shit.
We don't know what to do. We don't have a policy for this.
Not true. In the 1945 NFL championship game, Nuts Magoo picked up an errant flag and threw it into the Colorado River.
He's down. The ref's down and he's running back and forth. He's like waving his hands. And they're all up there just having a party with his flag. Like it's, they're like worshiping this flag, man. I mean, it was like, what is this? It was some little god to them, man. It was like the Coke bottle and the gods must be crazy.
Dude, that's like one of the greatest souvenirs at a football game ever. Nobody's got a flag.
Right. Are you kidding?
Nobody's got a flag.
That might be the first ever.
Oh, hell, that's great. That was great. That was absolutely great. That kid, I tell you what, I hope he's making the rounds. I hope he's like going to be on, well, Letterman doesn't do his show anymore, so I hope he's going to be on like Jimmy Kimmel or something.
That is why we love this game. That right there.
Right. And all you boycotters, all those empty seats, you had a chance to catch that flag. No, that young guy got it. Did he ever give it back? I wonder. Did he give it back?
I hope not.
I hope not, too.
I would have stuffed it down my pants and said, I dare you to take it. In this day and age, they went, you got it, kid. It's all yours.
Yeah, no shit. Oh, hell. Then he began a relationship with the flag.
All right, let's continue with
illegal
that.
Touching 5 yards.
By the way, I call this guy the Kansas City Angry Tard Fan.
Angry Tard Fan.
Yes.
Focus!
Right.
And then he runs back out to the sideline and like he's talking to somebody in the like in the seats like, what are you doing?
What?
Pay attention to your team. Team, you need to unite together and focus. Offensively and defensively.
Oh.
See, wait a minute.
We can't have this guy anymore. He just,
He clearly doesn't pay attention because there's three phases of the football game, Tom, in which you must excel.
Well, obviously, this guy's an idiot. He doesn't listen to our show or he'd know that.
He would know that. He'd think he was famous.
We are now 6-6. Where are my dozen rolls of toilet paper?
And I still don't get that.
I guess it's for all the chocolate syrup that somebody's going to shove up his ass and then throw him into the trunk and make him hold it. I don't know. You know, they're going to zip him up in the rubber suit.
I don't know. Andy Reid must be, like, losing his mind in Kansas City. He just probably can't even figure out the hell happened.
In that game, yeah, really. Well, for one, hand it to the fucking Jets. Hand it to the fucking Jets. Were you watching that game?
Yes, I was.
I'll tell you what, that was a good old-fashioned AFL slobber knocker. That was a good game.
It was.
It was high scoring, right? But when the Jets got the ball inside the 10-yard line, it seemed like it took them 12 plays to put it in the end zone.
I know.
Like three straight times.
Well, you know, and then, I mean, you start off with the two touchdowns to Kelsey, and then all of it, you know, and it's like you blinked, and the Jets had tied it. It's like, okay, all right, here we go.
Yeah, and McCown is playing his ass off.
He is, man. He's playing great.
Good for him.
All right, now this is so funny. Speaking of the Chiefs, all right, and getting back to the Giants and the coaching issue, this guy calls Mike Francesa. I can never remember the damn, what's the station?
Oh, WFAN, the Mike Francesa show.
WFAN. I don't know why I can't remember WFAN.
WFAN, the flagship station there, Tom.
So it's New York, Mike Francesa. And this guy calls in to talk about the possible next coach. The next possible coach for the Giants.
Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. Historically, the Giants don't usually give executives multiple titles. Is that correct?
Are you talking about?
As far as like a general manager slash vice president of operations or?
Well, very rare. Very rare. But I mean, you're talking more they don't hire to coach general managers, what they don't hire.
Right. No, well, that I knew. But like, my question to you is this. I mean, looking at this season right now, even though they're 6-6, they could potentially go 10-6. Do you think Holmgren may be available at the end of the year?
Wait a second. Didn't you say Giants?
I'm talking about the Giants. I'm talking about.
Well,
I'm saying
6-6. Well, who's 6-6?
Okay, so he's so confused.
who's 6-6? I'm failing to find where you're going here.
I think he got scared that the guy that he might not realize the Giants were 6-6 and something was very wrong with him or something, you know?
Yeah, right. Even the Jets aren't 6-6.
So he says Holmgren. And I'm like, is this guy got, you know, something wrong? Is he not, well, like, is his brain? And I didn't get it right at first, you know?
Right.
And then I realize what he's trying to say, but I don't think Francesa ever really understands what the guy was trying to say.
I think he does. I think he knew he had an idiot on the line.
Kansas City.
You just said you were talking about the Giants.
I'm talking about the Giants. I'm talking about being available for the job, for the Giants.
Why were you just brought up Kansas City for?
Kansas City Chiefs are 6-6 right now.
Wait a second. What planet are you on? You just said you want to talk about the Giants.
I'm talking about the Giants.
So what does Holmgren have to do?
Mike Holmgren will be available.
Who's Mike Holmgren? What does he have to do with the Chiefs?
What? The coach of the Chiefs.
Andy Reid.
Andy, I'm sorry. Andy Reid.
What?
Jeez. What he's talking about?
I don't know.
It's like, what is he talking about? No, I don't think Andy Reid's leaving Kansas City. No, I do not think he is. No.
And I don't think Mike Holmgren is either.
No.
What are you talking about? Fat guy, mustache.
They are similar.
You know, that guy on the phone, as soon as that motherfucker realized that, I would have loved to see what the Apple spy phone took of him while he was on his phone, and I'd see his face as he realized, I'm on the phone with freaking Mike Francesa on the freaking flagship, and I just made the biggest idiot of myself in the whole goddamn week. Mike Holmgren. No, let's talk about another man with a mustache for the Giants. Let's go ahead and lay this into the collective consciousness of the New York Giants. Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher. I think you should go ahead and take that little part right there and loop it behind the whole show, quietly, just in the background. Jeff.
Let's get it done, baby! Yeah!
Yeah! Jeff Fisher! Jeff Fisher!
Oh, God, you've ever heard that thing where I think they're talking about Sammy Baugh. It's an old, old, old newsreel, and every time he goes back to pass, he sets a new record. You ever heard that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, it's an old Sammy Baugh, like an NFL Films thing from the 40s. It's a newsreel. Ball leads the league in this and leads the league in that, and he's the all-time, and every time he goes back to pass, he sets a new record. Look, they bring in Jeff Fisher next year, and they let Eli Manning play. You can say that after every game, because as soon as Fisher is 0-1, he sets the record. So every game after that, him and Eli continue to set a record. That sells tickets. Listen to me, New York Giants. Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher.
Oh, my gosh. All right. This is our, I don't know about you. It's my, one of the two best things of the week. The other one we haven't played yet either. That's coming. But Herm Edwards, the new head coach of the Arizona State Devils. Hello. This is fantastic.
Dude, he's never coached in college before, has he? I haven't checked his bio, but he hasn't coached in, how long has it been since he was the coach of, what was the last job he had, the Chiefs?
Oh my gosh.
Was he a Chiefs coach? Was he the Chiefs? I don't even know. He was the Jets coach, and then he went somewhere. I remember I did a cartoon about maybe him going to Kansas City.
Well, he was in Kansas City. Get on the bus. Right.
Yeah, because then I did a cartoon about everybody stuffing money in his panties. In a Kansas City uniform. I think that was his last stop, was with the Chiefs. And that was... Shoot, you go ahead and play what you got to play. I will use the magic of the internet, and I will discover the answer.
Oh, he was a defensive assistant at San Jose State.
Okay.
All
right. Well, then he has coached in the NCAA.
Well, yeah, that was it though, and that was from 87 to 89. After that, it was all NFL, and he became head coach for the Jets in 2001. And that lasted till 2005, and then he was with the Chiefs beginning in 2006, and that went 2009. He got fired in 2009, so that was 8 years as a head coach with the Jets and Chiefs, and then he went to ESPN in 2009.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
if I haven't coached in the NCAA for 30 years. It's like, what's a year? A trip around the sun. Who cares about a trip around the sun?
You play to win the game.
Right.
That's right. We got no choice about where the sun is and whether we're going around. We just going to go. It don't matter how many times I've been around it. I still know the football field is not as big as the sun.
All right. So he did this press conference when he got the job. And here's this one guy from some publication called Devil's Digest. And I don't know if I think Herm didn't get it. You're the coach of the Sun Devils.
Right, right. I think he does, but you know what? Herm looks pissed off at no matter who he's talking to. He looks like he's ready to kill them for asking him a question.
Well, that's great for a head coach. That's what you want.
Yeah. You know, somebody asks him, where's the bathroom? And he's like, it's down the hall and to the left.
Clean up after yourself.
That's right. Make sure you turn off the light.
All right. Well, here's this guy coming up to ask him a question.
Hode Rubino, Devil's Digest.
Devil's Digest, huh?
Yes, sir.
Where you located, my man?
Right here in Tempe.
Okay, Devil's Digest. Okay. I'm Catholic now. I'm a Christian. Watch out, them devils. Just saying.
Well, you guys,
we're good, brother. We're
you
good.
Can see devils all over the place.
I ain't taking it personal.
I don't know if he realized the Devil's Digest. This guy's it's a publication about your football team, coach.
I think he gets it, and I think he just dominated that guy. He was just like Jesus' warrior right there.
Oh, my. Just he did. dominated him.
Yeah, he did. He's like, Devil's Digest, y'all don't be putting none of them half-naked women in there doing rituals, nothing, do you?
I wish he would have said that. That would have been great.
I don't like devils. I'm a Catholic. We're going to hire a couple of priests to be molesting kids, but I don't like devils.
All right.
So we're gonna change our entire culture, Tom. Right now, we will be the Arizona State Sun Burn or the Sun Chips or the Sun Tea.
Sun Chips.
That's right. The Sun Chips. Oh, my time at ESPN taught me how to tie into sponsorships.
All right. Well, here he is all fired up at his press conference.
There's something that a great former player said here, Pat Tillman. He said, when he talked about passion, he said, it ignites your soul. Football ignites my soul. It's what makes me go. This is what I do. I've done this my whole life.
What I do.
These young people want to know why. They want answers. Why is knowledge? It's up to us to give them knowledge. It's not questioning authority. They want to know. I understand that. I've had the privilege. Some people will question, well, you haven't coached in a long time. You haven't been on the field. Turn the TV on Wednesday. I'll be back in studio in Bristol. And I'll be coaching football, by the way. That's what I do. I coach football.
I coach football, John.
He does. You know what I think they ought to have done in ESPN was they ought to have bolted a face mask to the camera that looks at her so that when you ain't paying attention, he could get up and come like a rabbit and yank it around. You paying attention to me, boy? Hurry up before we go to commercial. You tell me who is the fourth receiver on this goddamn play.
Do you think the players at Arizona State who are big fans who see him on TV every week and now he's their coach, do you think that's weird?
I don't know if it's weird. I think he does have credentials, and I think that he's a good enough motivator that he could probably step right in front of a group of young goddamn men and lead them with his, you know, like I said in that cartoon, that touchy-feely kind of man love that I learned from Dick Vermeil. You know, he's good at that stuff, so he'll be able to get something out of him pretty
right,
quick, I think.
Right, right. But don't ask him about his team yet.
What is our DNA? I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Let's get a detective in here with an ultraviolet gun. See if there's any of it on the sheets or the curtains. Somebody's been in here cooking the potato.
Somebody make a play. Right. Somebody make a play. Get him.
That's right. I ain't having the DNA of no other tomato and potato in here.
Who's the fool? The fool or the fool that follows the fool?
That's right. As your podcast semi-host, I am not even going to attempt to try to say that.
All them good plays he got, just call in here. They all work.
That's coaching. That's coaching right there. Just call anything. Go ahead. Hurry up.
I coach football.
Yes.
That's right. On TV.
This is what I do.
That's what he do.
Why is knowledge?
Why is knowledge?
Y is knowledge, and Z is for zoo. You know, Tom, when I was in college, I had to, like, you know, walk to and from classes. You know, like, to and from classes. You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
Shoot. Walking to and from them classes. I didn't have no car. I didn't have no motorcycle or RV or a scooter or even a skateboard. I am on TV coaching football, having had to walk to and from classes. I get it. I will be teaching these boys how to cook that potato. On the bus. We gonna get a seat.
Herm is the best.
And he's back. This is going to be great. We're going to get to see Saturday afternoon Herm.
Oh, God, this is great.
Sunday morning good. Herm, because the Pac-10 still plays their goddamn games at 10:30 at night on the East Coast.
I'm glad I never cared about anything. Who won the Pac-10, did what, now I can root for the Arizona State Sun Devils.
Hey, maybe Elaine Gork will show up with like a San Diego State hat on by accident to ask him a question. Gork, I have a question for TV man coach.
Oh, I want to hear this. I want to hear this go back and forth. Are you kidding? Gork and Herm Edwards would, oh my God, I could die after that.
Where did you get that hat? And why are you green and covered with scales? And stop eating that man from the Devil's Digest.
Gork hungry. Gork not get here while green room at donut.
Oh, shit. Oh, hell, it's Friday and I'm having fun.
Are you ready to get Rafael Palmeiro back as an Oriole?
Oh, it's like an open wound.
What is he thinking? Well, you know what? And your GM didn't help anything.
No, Dan Duquette didn't help anything because, dude, we need pitching and not 53-year-old pitching.
Well, he doesn't want him to pitch. You know, okay, so anybody who doesn't know who Rafael Palmeiro is, 20-year career in Major League Baseball, he is one of five players, okay, to have 500 home runs and 3,000 hits. That is amazing.
Dude, he was a Roider.
Right, exactly.
He was a Roider, and he was one of the worst of the Roiders.
Yes, that's the problem, okay. And that's why he wants to come 12 years later now, 53 years old. He wants to come back and prove he doesn't need anything. And as an older player, he wants to prove to himself and everybody he can do it on a high level. And then he can walk away feeling good about his entire body of work. And I'm like, you're what? And then Dan Duquette's over here. Well, it's an interesting story. It's like tying your shoes. If you can hit, then you can hit. So I guess if Palmeiro can hit, Dan Duquette will talk.
I was like, dude, that is akin to having a guy look at the camera and go, it's disappointing. Right? That's what Duquette said. But look, 53 years old, if a man can hit, man can hit. No, I'm sorry. Man can't hit. Man can't hit. Man might hit a little bit, but I wanted to look this up before the show started. I didn't have time to look it up, but how many times do you think a designated hitter, which is what he would have to be,
right,
swings in a Major League Baseball season if he starts 150 games?
He's designated. How many swings?
How many swings? 1,000? 1,200? 1,500 swings? How many at-bats do they normally average per season? Like 400?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, probably 1,200 is very doable. 1,500 is doable. You know, that shit, it's crazy to think that his back will live that long doing that at that age. That's insane.
It ain't going to happen. It's silly.
Look, I play sports, right? I play tennis. It's not the same thing. I don't play any contact sports, but it's a lot of quick burst energy. And there's, in my mind, dude, I'm still 18. And my mind goes, hey, there's the ball. If you turn this way and twist this way, you'll be able to get it this way. And my knee goes, hold it. We ain't doing that. So, yeah.
I just wanted to mention that. I thought it was funny. He thought he could come back and play.
Don't think it's funny yet. I'm an Oriole fan. We came in dead last place, and now they're looking at Rafael Palmeiro.
All right, let's get to this because we still got to get to email and our bets. But I have to play this audio from this high school. He's a high school basketball announcer.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you know where this was?
Yeah, this is in Iowa.
This is radio station KIOW. The announcer's name is Orrin Harris, or I should say a former announcer's name is Orrin Harris. Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to hear a man get fired, and his producer, too.
Okay, is the girl his producer?
Yes, the woman is his producer, and not anymore. Right now, you know, I think they are whatever they are now.
This is in Iowa?
This is in Iowa.
Did they...
KIOW.
I almost said, did they bust this team in, the opponent?
No, man. Did they bust them in?
I don't know. Boat? By boat? I don't know. What?
There's colors in Iowa. Get the fuck out of here.
No, they're not black.
I know, but God dang if it ain't close enough.
And I'm surprised anybody in Iowa got upset with this.
How the goddamn wall not let these motherfuckers over here? They can play basketball better than our boys.
I can't believe anybody listening to this complained in Iowa. I would have thought they'd have been like, yeah.
I don't think that they knew they were on the air. All right. I clearly think that they didn't know they were on the air. They thought that this was just a hot mic. I don't even know this actually went out the air. I think maybe a producer probably sent it out. And you know, AM radio in Iowa, a producer, some young hippie from fucking Chicago who's trying to work their way up in the business.
I will show these racist bastards. I'll put this out on the internet.
But this is good. This is how you get fired.
Oh, not too bad.
Okay.
Not the greatest, but we'll get through it.
Yeah, you sound like nothing's ever wrong.
Gonna get over early anyway, so that's...
Yeah.
God, Eagles are all girls.
Oh my gosh, I didn't want to be on either end of this game.
Pathetic.
Ugh.
Pitiful. Here we got, first three names I gotta remember are Enzo Gabara, Spencer Espigio, Nicholas Padilla for Eagle Grove. They have a lot of apparently
Espanol people
in Eagle Grove.
Espanol people.
Yeah, I wonder why that is.
I wonder why.
But
you wonder why? What is? I guess I don't know what that is all about with that area.
Who knows what I guess maybe that's the school that is in a district that's predominantly Hispanic. I have no idea. I really don't know because I couldn't find out who the team was that they represent. Eagle Grove High School is during warm-ups that these two are talking on while they're not on the air. But Eagle Grove High School is the team full of Hispanics, and these people are the flagship station of some other high school that
right.
I could never find out what it was. Anybody that wants to be an Eagle out there and go and find out who that is, that'd be great.
Well, I've never heard them called Espanol people.
Espanol people. That's the way the hip racists say it these days.
Oh, now. He's a hipster.
Espanol people.
Hey.
That's right. Espanol people. We have the Asiatic peoples.
My car's a Speedy. He's an Espanol people. He should go on bestie motto in their head.
Yeah, seriously, man, this is just ridiculous. This is how you get fired, ladies and gentlemen. If you really want to leave a job, this is how you make sure you go with no benefits.
Yeah, let's continue with this.
But the latest there is that they're just going to gradually come into town. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Gradually work their way in.
Gradually work their way in. So who are these people again?
Yeah, who are they?
These people. Wait, there was another voice. People. Hold on, there's another voice. Listen.
Work their way in. So who are these people again?
Yeah, who are they?
So she said, who are these people again? And you hear him say, yeah, but you hear another guy's voice go, who are they?
That's the ICE agent sitting next to him. Don't worry. If they start to pull ahead, I'm going to take them down. Can't trust those Espanol people from from Eagle Grove High School.
He's a media. All of a sudden, he had his attention. Who are they?
Yeah, right. Right. What? You said Padilla? Is that what you said?
So, who are these people again?
Yeah, who are they? Oh, you want to know the names?
Yeah.
Enzo Gabara, Spencer Espigio, and Nicholas Padilla.
Could you use that in a sentence?
Hella Padilla. I could use it in a sentence.
Helica Panza, Helica Padilla.
See ya.
Well, they sound like they've been there a while with given a first name.
Yeah, I think they've been there. Padilla, I think it's P-A-D-I-L-L-A.
Yeah, Padilla.
Padilla, something like that.
Yeah.
Then there's Chase Blasey. He sounds like he's not a foreigner.
Yeah. He might be British. He might be from New Zealand. Who the fuck knows? He doesn't sound like one of them goddamn darkies. Never mind the fact he's a major drug dealer in your town. Hey. Holy shit. So let me get this straight. Right now, I'm guessing right now that Eagle Grove High School, based on what we learned in two episodes ago, is probably in the dubs of Iowa, but some hang out on the east side. Right? And that was Marshawn taught us about where the Mexes live. That's where the Mexes are.
Then there's Chase Blasey. He sounds like he's not a foreigner.
He might be Canadian.
Could be, though.
Yeah, he might. Right. He might be from fucking Nigeria. Who the hell do you know?
Could be, though.
Yeah.
They're all foreigners.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. They're all foreigners.
They're tainted, Tom. Make sure we get Willie in here right after the game to mop this floor.
These guys in Iowa going, we ain't never seen anything like this.
Make sure the cows don't got sour milk tomorrow. Somebody cast a spell. Get the witch out of here. These backwards ass motherfuckers. Oh my God! Mega, mega, mega!
Oh my God!
Mega, mega, mega! You know, Tom, word is that as their bus drove by, all the corn died 5 rows back from the road.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They're all foreigners.
Exactly, all foreigners.
Could you imagine her sitting there in her boss's office listening to that while she's trying to explain herself?
Exactly, all foreigners.
As Trump would say, go back where they came from.
Oh,
well,
my
some would say that, yeah.
God.
Some days I feel like that, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, as Trump would say, go back where you came from. Did he really say that?
That would be Eagle Grove High School, which is probably just across town in the dubs. Chase Blasey, on the other hand, probably has to go back to the Netherlands. Oh, my God.
Christ.
That is too fucking funny.
Jesus Christ, we do an entire season about the NFL, and the best thing we have the whole year is high school basketball.
Oh, I can't say that. I can't say that. We've had some good ones. That Giants fan who was on the Ben McAdoo's on the sidelines. Now, who did you say took over?
What?
For the Giants, who did you say you took over? Show, remind me what the fuck. I can't remember right now. I'm all freaking laughing.
Oh, Steve Spagnuolo.
Steve Spagnuolo. We get to get, I gotta go find that guy's next video.
Ben McAdoo on the sidelines.
Right.
Yes, Steve Spagnuolo on the sidelines.
Now we went to being a laughingstock like we all, like getting teased like usual.
Oh, no.
Let me put that on my to-do list right now. Let's see. Go find Elmer Fudd guy about Giants next game. All right, we'll see if we get that guy next week.
Wayne and Collins couldn't even cover either. You lose to the 49ers in Levi Stadium, one of the worst teams in the league.
Now see, he's way up there on the list of funny things of the year.
Okay, all
Marshawn
right.
Lynch with the little Mexican guy is way up on the list of funny things of the year.
That was just, man, I'm telling you, that was good stuff, man. It was just
it's been a good season for all that kind of stuff.
Every sentence, every, you know.
just kept coming. It just kept coming. All right, let's do some email. We are getting behind. We got to do some email.
All right, first thing I want to do is say hello to a new Twitter follower. Hello to Redskins cheerleader Kennedy. Hi, how are you? You are nice. It's nice of you to follow her, to follow us. After she's probably going to listen to one or two shows, she's going to go, Jesus, what kind of moron am I? But hi, Kennedy, how are you?
Come on now.
Anyway, what's that?
You could give us a little more credit than that.
I could, but... All right. Okay, Kennedy, give it a little while, man. You'll understand it pretty soon. No problem. And I'm not mentioning anything saying that you're stupid or anything like that. But you know, there's jokes that you just, yeah, you'll follow. Anyway, here we go. First email is from the office of John Elway. Oh, how about that? The office of John Elway. Dear sports-related program, due to possible CTE, I can't remember things as well as I would like to, and as a result, I may or may not have appeared on your show sometime within the last 6 months. If I did, would you please check around the studio or the green room and possibly the men's room for the Broncos offense?
Right.
I have looked all over and I can't find it. Thank you for your help. Sincerely, John Elway.
I understand. I'd be checking everywhere, too.
Holy shit. That's pretty good. All right. Well, that was pretty goddamn creative. All right. Here we go. We have Andrea in Atlanta. Andrea in Atlanta is back, Tom. She says, go Dawgs!
As a Buckeye fan, I'm not whining. A lot of Buckeye fans are whining. I don't feel I'm justified in whining. We lost two games. We got the shit kicked out of us by friggin' Iowa. I'm not going to whine. Yes, we won a conference championship. That's the only thing about it, you know? Now, here's the thing. It would have bothered me if Auburn had beat Georgia and won the SEC championship. And then Alabama got in, even though Auburn had just beat them the week before. Then that would have bothered me. But because Georgia blew out Auburn the way they did,
right?
Then Alabama's a one-loss team. They're a one-loss SEC team. They are Alabama. You do have to give them the benefit of the doubt on that. You know, that they just didn't play a good game. On the road, tough place, man, going to Auburn and play that game. That's hard to do. So I'm not whining. I am still whining about the system and the fact that people
they need an 8-game playoff.
They need an 8-game playoff, and it needs to be conference champions. Notre Dame, if you want to go to the playoffs, get in a goddamn conference.
That's right. Get in a conference. You know, you could send 6 conference champions and 2 at-large bids like wild cards. But 4 teams, you know what, I'll tell you what, Tom. When I was coming home, I was in the car coming in about 11:30 on Sunday morning. I was listening to the radio and they're all bitching and arguing and arguing and arguing about which team should go in and why this team should go in. And I'm thinking, you know, isn't the playoffs supposed to eliminate this shit where people that fucking sit there and don't play the games decide who the fuck gets to play the game?
That's why I'm saying, bah, you know, you got 5 power conferences. There's also 3 others you could put in there. Look, I felt, you know who I felt the worst for? UCF, and I understand, it's UCF, and they didn't play anybody, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. They win their conference championship, and they finish the season a perfect 13-0, right? And they're going to go to a bowl game. And would they finish 10th?
Yeah, something like that. I haven't really paid attention to it. I noticed that Penn State's in the Fiesta Bowl, and now I'm happy.
Why are they 10th? Why are they in the top 20? Why are they even counted? If you're not going to let them in, what? Oh, well, let's make them 10th. That'll make them feel good. No, because you could have told them at the beginning of the season, you could have went to this team at UCF and said, hey guys, you got a real nice team here and you can play as hard as you want. Play your hearts out and win every single game and have a perfect season, but you're not allowed in the playoffs.
Well, Tom, it's a participation trophy.
Oh, that's it. That's what it is.
That was the game against Memphis though, right?
They won twice against Memphis.
Yeah, but the game last weekend, that was UCF against Memphis, if I'm remembering right. I was flicking around. Right? Yeah, that was a hell of a fun game, man. Every time I turned it around, it was some kind of big shit happening in the game.
Double overtime.
Yeah. All right, so Andrea in Atlanta said, go Dawgs.
All right, I'm for that. Go ahead. Go Dawgs. Sure.
Go Dawgs. Baker Mayfield won't be able to grab his thingy.
I definitely don't want to see Alabama back. I don't want to see Clemson back. I mean, we've watched them play the game the last 2 years, and you know I don't like Baker Mayfield. So why not? Go Georgia, sure.
I think Baker Mayfield's going to be fine in the pros.
Oh, I do too. Oh, I absolutely. He's definitely prototypical NFL quarterback.
Anyway, he won't be able to grab his thingy after Georgia's defense breaks his arms.
Okay.
Nice. I love the show, guys. Tom, sorry about Ohio State. I was rooting for them for you so they could make the playoff and get their butts kicked by the dogs. With all caps and exclamation points. 1, 2, 3, 4. Andrea is fired up.
Well, that wouldn't have happened because we'd have had to play Clemson first and we'd have lost. So.
All right, I got an email here from Deshaun. Deshaun says, am I the only quarterback you find growth in?
Am I the only quarterback you find growth in?
I heard growth out of him.
Yeah, don't ask us. Ask your coach.
I hear growth in all quarterbacks, except I heard a lot in Deshaun.
Kaiser goes back to pass, trailing by a million. Passes.
He grew a lot there, Tom. It's not often you get to try to come back from a million points, Dan.
All right. I got something here from Twitter, and I'll tell you what. I said this to you right as we were starting the show. There's somebody listening to the show right now. Steelers Nasty on Twitter just tweeted out as we started the show. He and his friend Steelers Crash still use the lines, "Let's go get some coke and some whores." Let's go get some coke and some whores.
Oh, that's great.
So there you go. Some love for the old bank cartoons.
Oh, this is so exciting. Say, doesn't this thing on my lip make me look like Pat O'Brien?
Let's go get some coke and some whores.
All right.
All right, what else you got?
That's all I got.
All right.
What do you got?
We have got from... This question comes all the way from Marcus in Germany.
All the way from Germany. My God, Tom, it takes emails a fraction of a second longer to get here.
All the way across the internet.
Here he comes.
Okay.
He's sending us a telegram.
He has a question for Bob Kraft. Oh.
Really? Let me see. Oh, hang on a second.
Yes, this is a good one. All right, Bob. Marcus in Germany wants to know what you think of Roger Goodell's new contract extension. He got 5 years, $200 million.
What? He got what? How long? What? When? But Roger... Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, God, I've got such a headache. I tell you what. If he's going to be commissioner... If he's... Jesus, he's going to be in charge till 2020-something. Look, this is the last time I skip a meeting and go out bar hopping with Jerry. You know, he's a dipshit country-ass goddamn redneck inbred, you know. No branches at all on the family tree. That's what I'm saying. You know, it's just, it runs like that in the hills of Arkansas, you know, now where he's from. Anyway, drinking in the horn, that's all he ever wants. Owners' meetings to him are an opportunity to stick his dick in everything he can find, including potted plants, dogs, anything. Anyway, come up with my helicopter, he's always saying. Well, you know, it's a nice helicopter. So, but anyway, look, if Roger Goodell is going to be the commissioner, look, I'll drink to that. You know, Tom, at least he knows how to give a good boot lick when he's giving me my trophy, you know. You got to give him that. He stands up there when everybody's booing him and throwing shit at him.
Jesus. All right.
They don't show you that on TV. When he walks off the stage, everybody throws beer at him.
All right. All right. Let's get to our bets from last week. You went 1-1. Right. 1-1.
Yes, I'm on a losing streak. I have now lost 4 games on the entire season.
What Damn. Are you doing? Well, you just lost another one.
I know. 5.
But, yeah, you had to... The Eagles -5.5 at the Seahawks, and the Seahawks whooped that ass.
Yeah, I'm glad to see it. I'm not happy to have lost my money, but I'm glad to see it.
I mean, I understand the Eagles playing really well, but, man, I couldn't pick a team to win by 5.5 at that stadium.
I don't know, man. The Eagles are freaking good, and they just were due for a letdown, and I hate to say the word due. And the fact is, I'm playing with one money, so I don't really care at the moment if they lost one. That's fine with me. I'll take the fact that they have lost a football game to be happy.
You broke even. You had the Vikings +3 at the Falcons. They won by 5. And yeah. And then now you've started with a loss because you took the Saints. Getting
the Saints.
2.5. I get it. I understand that pick, too. I told you, the only game I liked last week was the Jets +3 against the Chiefs.
And they won.
They won. The Jets are a fucking team that this year has been wonderful with the spread.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. Well, and I thought, oh, God, it was 14-0. I went, well, that one was wrong. No, they came back and got it. So you guys need to stop listening to John and just bet whatever I bet.
That's right. The tide has turned.
So this
I've lost 5 in 4 months.
This week, take the Chargers minus 6. And I don't usually do this, but I have to take the Cowboys minus 3.5 against the Giants. The Giants are a disaster, man. Come on.
Dude, they've got Steve Spagnuolo over there. And you got Eli Manning, and you've got Eric Flowers out there on the left tackle. They're going to play well. All right, so I do agree with you on the Chargers minus 6. I'm taking that. The Redskins are a team that is beat to shit on the offensive line. And that defensive line is just going to go out and slap them all like Mo does to Larry and Curly and whoever else is in line.
Exactly. I mean, if Dallas can beat up the Redskins like that, come on, the Chargers are going to put a hurting on them at home.
Yeah, look, I'm telling you, I'm not kidding you. At least once during that football game, they're going to call hands to the face to one of the defensive linemen. And it's going to be because he stands up and he slaps all 5 linemen right across the face like the fucking Three Stooges. Pow!
All right, so who you got?
I got the Chargers minus 6, and I got the Ravens plus 4.5. The Steelers like to keep it close, man. The Ravens are a good football team, and they're only giving up 17 points a game. That defense is fucking nasty, nasty, nasty. And their running game is pretty goddamn good. So I'll take the Ravens plus 4.5.
I don't know what the loss. I mean, this is not just like he's going to be out for a few weeks. The loss of Ryan Shazier. I don't know what that's going to do to the team. We'll find out. Maybe they'll rally. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it'll. I don't know if it's going to drag him down. I don't know. I mean, he's like their heartbeat, man.
Yeah, I know. And well, I think they'll rally. I think that they're the Steelers. The Steelers will call in all of the fucking old hats. They'll call in all those fucking heroes. Mike Tomlin's a good motivator.
All right,
they'll be all right.
Well, we will see, and we'll do it again next time.
Later.
My name is Rafael Palmeiro, and I am a professional baseball player. I have never used steroids. Period. I am against the use of steroids. I don't think athletes should use steroids, and I don't think our kids should use them. You're a liar, liar, liar. I do not know how to say it any more clearly than that.
I have intentionally used a banned substance, but unfortunately was not careful enough. I'm stupid. This is just an unfortunate thing. I'm stupid.
I have never used steroids, period.
So you were an eyewitness to seeing Palmeiro?
I injected him. I injected him.
You injected him?
Yes.
Bang, 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 bang.
Yo, yo.
Bang,
yo, yo.
Bang, bang,
yo, yo.
And there's Eli with the interception to seal the launch. Very good, Eli.
You've been listening to the Bang Radio Hour.
Mein lieber Schwan hat der einen abgekriegt.
Listen to me.
Radio.
I mean,
only can control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
Oh, oh my God!
You missed it! You've got to be kidding me!
Oh, Troy. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God!
You don't have to spend a lot of time kind of circumcising the mosquito.
At Tesco, we can pop our pasta in your Astra, our Red Leicester in your Fiesta, or our mayo in your Mondeo. All you need to do is try click and collect. Just go to Tesco.com, order your shopping, then click and collect. With the minimum basket spend now only £25. And if you fancy something a little more exotic, we can even put our pad thai in your cash kai. Try click and collect at Tesco.com. Every little helps. Selected larger stores, booking charge may apply. See online for full terms and conditions.